Vayigash, from where we left off from last week. It's been a very, very busy week. We left off in Parshas Miketz, Shabbos Mincha, where you have brothers who are standing terrorized by this tyrant, by Yosef, not knowing what's going to happen. We have the old ripped clothing. We have a situation where they've been completely checkmated. They're stuck there in a corner. They have Binyamin, who they're supposed to be looking after, who they gave the Olam Haba for. They gave the promise their children's lives over. He's about to get taken away, and it completely looks completely bleak. Everything looks completely dark. V'yigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda stands up. He's a brave one. And by the way, V'yigash Elav Yehuda is Kadma Va'azlo Revi. Stood up. Kadma Va'azlo stood up. Revi. Who's Revi? Reuven Shimon Levi Yehuda. Why Daf Yehuda? Zarko Va'yoyme Bi'adoini. Zarko Munach Segoil. Because he threw away what was going to be a segula, was going to be his Olam Haba. So Kadma Va'azlo Revi Zarko Munach Segoil. Yehuda stood up because he threw away what he believed is the Olam Haba, and he stood up to protect himself. And he was dealing here with an amazingly intense parasha. And something like this parasha before, we're just spoiled by the fact that we're here every year. Yeah, but if somebody hasn't seen this parasha before, the climax is probably the most climatic parasha in the Torah. It's unbelievably incredible how things suddenly switch over, where instead of being the ones who are enemies of the state, they become close to the king, the viceroy of the longest reigning Jewish king in history. And Yosef goes and tells the brothers to go down to Yaakov. Even Yaakov says, "Musa hapam." He now is going to get Olam Haba back, and everything clicks. It's an incredible, incredible parasha. But I want to just focus on a couple of nekudas of the reactions of Yaakov and Yosef, and how they reacted in these times of enormous, enormous, enormous emotion, and how they reacted. First of all, you can well imagine that the brothers had what to tell Yaakov Avinu. They come down, and originally told him, Chai ra achalosu. Yeah, a chai ra ate up. Yosef, do you recognize this? And now they're coming back with a new story. After 22 years, Yosef, by the way, he wasn't killed. He is a king of Mitzrayim. I mean, Yaakov, what is he going to say then? Ah, really? That's amazing. We don't see his reaction. We don't see Yaakov reacting angry. We don't see Yaakov reacting happy. We don't see anything. We don't see Yaakov reacting at all to his children. In fact, later on, in the Teichocha, he gives to his children, that's before he dies, a brachas. He doesn't give very clear mention at all. We don't see very much what's going on. Why not? Why don't we see how the Torah reacted to how Yaakov Avinu said, "How dare you lie to me? 22 years, I was mourning. The Shechina was taken away. I had no nevuah. How can you do such a thing to me? How did you sing to your brother? Nothing, not a word." The teretz is because he didn't react. He didn't react. The reason why he doesn't say anything, because nothing happened. He didn't react. Yaakov Avinu did not react because he knew Yosef was alive. Fine, he's had his life. He didn't react to what they did to him. Because a tzaddik is in total control of his emotions. It cannot possibly be that this most bizarre, crazy story could have possibly been in the Bechira of the brothers. It must be B'yad Hashem. So for me to react and beat up the poor mailman who bought me this bill from Mas Hakhnasa, it's ridiculous. That's not the point. These people are the mailman. These are the postmen, right? David the postman, right? Yeah, these are the postmen. He doesn't start attacking him, so he doesn't say how he reacted, because he didn't react. It said the Torah is written with white smoke, black smoke on top of white smoke. What's a white smoke? Not only is what black smoke is what's written down. Yep, we have to learn from. It's a white smoke. The space is what's not written down. We have to learn from that. Not reaction of Yaakov Avinu at that stage, of not being livid with his children to make him suffer for 22 years, shows us the amazing control. It's not clear they didn't tell the full story. It's not clear at all. It's mashma, it's machlekes meforshim. Later on, they came and said, Yaakov Avinu gave us a tzivui that not to do anything, and he cried. So different machlekes why he cried. Yeah? Yosef cried. So according to many meforshim, he cried that Yaakov Avinu was choshed to him, suspected him of going to revenge his brothers, but he knew the story. According to other Mepharshim, Yosef never went b'yichidus with his father while he was in Mitzrayim. He never joined with his father ever. He never had a separate meeting with his father, just in case the father would ask him, "Tell me, what happened over there? What happened?" He did not want to. He did not, and he wouldn't tell him. And Yosef wouldn't tell his father. But the brothers waiting outside will think, "Ah, he's probably spilling the beans now." He's probably telling him. And if he never went to Yechidus with the father, there's machlekes whether he knew or whether he didn't know. But what's clear is that somehow or another, Yaakov was not a fool. Yaakov even knew everything was going on. Somehow or another, there's no reaction. Let's move on. Yosef finally reveals himself to his brothers. Ani Yosef Oid Avichai. And the prophet says the brothers were so devastated. They're so devastated that the Yochel Echav Lames Oisoi Kinivlu Biponav. They were completely dumbfounded. Vayomer Yosef El Ochid Geshu Na Elai, come towards me. Vaygoshu Vayomer Ani Yosef Achichem Asher Mechartem Oisim Mitzrayim. Also Orach Chadash. What's Peshat? Vayomer Ani Yosef Achichem Asher Mechartem Oisim Mitzrayim. He just said Ani Yosef. Of course, Ani Yosef Achichem. Many other Yosefs were there. Asher Mechartem Oisim Mitzrayim. He sold me to Mitzrayim. What's Peshat? Is Orach Chaim Hakadosh? Even Asher Mechartem Oisim Mitzrayim. Even at that stage, when you were selling me. At that moment when you were selling me, I still thought you my brothers. Ani Yosef Achichem, even at the moment, Asher Mechartem Oisim Mitzrayim, that you sold me to Mitzrayim, I did not see for a moment that you're turning your back on me. You thought you were. But I saw the Rebbein Shalom the whole time. My brothers couldn't do this without the Rebbein Shalom's Rotson. And therefore, Asher Mechartem Oisim Mitzrayim, even Achichem, at the moment of Asher Mechartem Oisim, which is an amazing, incredible thought. So we find over here how what self-control Yosef had, how his ability to overcome his own personal emotion to see Yad Hashem and everything all the way through. And then he carries on, and it's a very, very amazing medrash. The Apostle carries on, Va'ato, Alte Otzvu, do not be upset, Va'licha Beinechem, do not be bad in your eyes, Ki Mechartem Oisim Heino, Ki Lemichya Shlechani Elikim Lefneichem. I am sent over here for a purpose. I'll be sent over here for a reason. I'm over here. There's a Rav coming, and I'm over here. I'm a shliach. Says Yibruchim, he brings a medrash. It's some very interesting medrash. The medrash says that Rebbein Shlilam says to Klal Yisrael, I light up the world every single day with the sun during the day and the moon and the stars at night. I'm going to ask you to light up the Mishkan for me. Light up the Mishkan for me. Light the menorah in the Mishkan for me. That's what I ask from you. Ad kan divrei ha-medrash in Parsha Tetzaveh. So Yeruchim says an amazing thing, and he said this is a very, very, it's a very piercing idea. He says that let's say somebody hurt you very badly. He hurt you very badly. He embarrassed you. He annoyed you. He upset you. He antagonized you very, very badly, and you really deserve an apology from this person. You really do deserve an apology. So this person comes to you one day, he plucks up the courage and said, by the way, I was way out of line. I was way out of line, I should never have done what I did. And I have a reason. So what's a natural thing to say? Forget it! Don't worry, Michael, give you, yeah, absolutely, forget about it, let's move on. Say, Ruchem, that's wrong. It's wrong to do that. Because in fact, what you're saying over here is, I do not want to hear your explanation. I want you to remain chayev to me. I want you to remain owing to me. You haven't given me a good explanation why I did what you did, and I haven't accepted it. And therefore, you're still indebted to me. Not only have you been nasty to me, but I've even been nice to you. So you're even doubly indebted to me now, and that remains a debt. And you always feel that this guy owes you big, and this guy feels that he owes you big. This is not a good feeling. So too, when a child or a Rebbe or a business associate or a friend, you do a favor to somebody. A big favor. A Rebbe teaches a child and he takes him to a complete different stage of his learning. Or somebody brings up a child and the child says to the stage of marriage, and the young Kala or the young person says, Daddy, what can I do for you? You've done given me so much. Nah! It's a pleasure. I'm a father. It's a pleasure. You shouldn't do that, says Yibruchim. What you should do is, you should give him a little bit of opportunity, whatever it is, something small, to pay back. You know what? You do owe me. But you know what you could do for me? You could learn a Mishnah every day in my schools. Well, something small, whatever it is, right? That is a way of paying back. Yosef, not only was he the tzaddik over here, of saying to them, Ani Yosef, Oy Davi Chai, and he brought them close, he said to them, I'm going to give you the reason why he did it to me. You're so dumbstruck, you're so quiet, you're so mute. I'll tell you, I'll give you the reason behind something you can't possibly give me the reason for. I'm telling you why he sent me here. I forgive you because, and I'll give you the reason. You don't have to give me the reason. I'll give you the reason why I'm over here. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu sent me here, and it's all him, and it's nothing to do with you. And he gave them the reason why he was actually sent. That was a middus of Yosef. One could be speechless by his koyach of being able to control his middus and to give his brother's excuse of being so incredibly terrible to him on how it looks on the outside. Furthermore, later on in the parasha, finally, Yaakov and Yosef meet. After 22 years, Yaakov thought he's not going to get Olam Haba without Yosef. Olam Haba for sure never had those 22 years. The Rashi brings down that by Avedus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a special koyach for a person to forget after 12 months. But if a person is not through the natural koyach of Avedus, he hadn't died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give him that ability. And Yaakov was mourning all those years. Mourning means he never had Nevuah all those years. Right? His Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu was minimized because of this. And then finally he comes down and he sees Yosef. Incredible simcha. And Yosef, imagine his different paths in life, of being the Ashes Potiphar, and almost going for the sin, and seeing Yaakov Avinu coming, and Yosef, you do this, you won't be on the ephod. And Yosef has that enormous akaras hatoyed. And every day the battle he has in Mitzrayim is remembering the Torah Yaakov Avinu taught him, of shame the eighth of how to live in Golus, and how to bring up a family, and is brought up. Unbelievable! And finally he's come to Yaakov Avinu, and he can embrace his father, says a pasuk.
He
came to Yisrael his father, Goishna Vayera Elov. Vayera Elov. And he appeared in front of him. Vayipol al Tzavarov, and he fell on his neck, Vayef, and he cried al Tzavarov Oid, and he cried more. So what's Vayera Elov? Says a pasuk, Yosef Nira El Oviv. Yosef appeared to his father. Asks the Bala Musa. Rebbe Elia asks it, Rebbe Chaim Shmulevitz asks it. Within the context of the pasuk, it's very clear who did what. The pasuk says, "Vayesa Yaakov v'yal likras Yisrael aviv who Yosef, vayera elov and he appeared in front of him who Yosef." So obviously, why do Rashi have to say Yosef nirel aviv? Yosef appeared to his father. So here is a very, very profound thought. An idea over here is something which is almost again mind blowing, and that is that we understand and we see in the world that there's an ability, as much as one possibly can, if one's able to harness the energies and focus it in one focal point, one can do incredibly unusual things. I know, for example, karate, right? You have a brick, and if you're able to focus the mind and focus all the energies on the body on one particular point, you can smash that brick. A laser. You take light and you focus it on one very, very small, tiny, tiny pin thing, and that can create fantastic things. Yosef appeared in front of his father, and there are two emotions that could be happening. Number one, it could be, I'm meeting my father for 22 years. Who knows if I live to live this day? Unbelievable! My father, my father, Yaakov Avinu. And what pleasure Yosef could have had. Mum is just focusing on incredible schus he has to meet his father again. On the other hand, there's another emotion over here of how happy my father must be to see me. After all those years, he must be missing me so much. What happiness he must have. Says the pasuk, what emotion was Yosef going through? Vayera Elov, says Rashi. He appeared in front of him. Not that he appeared in front of him. And he finally, I can meet my father again. Says the pasuk, Vayera Elov, Yosef Nira El Oviv. His focus was, Baruch Hashem, now I'm appearing in front of my father. Now my father can get nachas from me. Forget about my emotions. What I feel is irrelevant. That's not who I am. My focus right now is what nachas I can give my father, how happy my father must be to see me. That was a koyach of Yosef. That was a koyach of Yosef being able to live through all these incredibly difficult times because he had the focus of his emotions and knowing exactly what to do when. And that was learned for Yaakov Avinu. The pasuk says, Vayipal al Tzavarov, Vayip al Tzavarov Oid. Yeah? Vayipal upon it, and he cried. Says Rashi. What about Yaakov? Yaakov didn't cry. Says Rashi, Ava Yaakov le nofal al Tzavar Yosef le noshko. He never hugged him and never cried.
Talking about bad timing. Waited all this time, and he is about to see Yosef. The Manushach. If it's Sosman Krishma, say earlier. Now he meets Yosef, and that moment of incredible time, we can kiss and speak to his son. Oh, he's saying Krishma, shuckling away, and his son is crying on his. What's the deal behind this? Well, that's terrible timing. So the Mefarshim explain that the koyach that Yaakovina had, this emotion that he had, was something that was so rare, that was so once in his lifetime. This is so unique that he took the love that he had for his son Yosef at that moment, and he was makrivit to the Rebbeinu Shloim. He took the half to Hashem lekech v'chol avovcho v'chol nafshcho v'chol meidach as the Rebbeinu Shloim. It's yours. I'm taking my love and everything I have for my son, and I'm directing it towards you. That moment he chose to say Kriya Shema to focus his love for his son to the Rebbeinu Shloim. This was Yosef. This was Yaakov. No grudge. Giving the other person a reason behind why they did, not holding it back. Being the understanding son, being the understanding brother. This was Yosef. It is an incredible, incredible parasha, and we can learn from this in all the different levels of how to focus our love to Rebbeinu Shloim with all the wonderful things that come to us. It could be when a person owes you something, allow him to pay it back. If you're upset with him, let him explain. All the various different levels can learn from this parasha. Rebbeinu Shloim give us to grow and to learn that obvious hein hein amo proverb.